Hi everyone, Adrian here. A special episode for you today. We visited the Four Pines Brewery in Brookvale, New South Wales, and had a chat to a few of their brewers. You'll just have to excuse the sound quality a little bit. We did record during a bottling day at the same time we were trialing out some new recording equipment. But it is a good episode, so stay tuned. Sessionable.
Welcome to Sessionable. Recording pretty special episode today at the Four Pines Brewery in Brookvale. And we've got some guests with us. We've got Tom.
How you going?
And we got Chris.
Yeah, g'day guys.
So two of the brewers from Four Pines. We might get started. Just get you to tell us a little bit about yourselves. Start with you, Chris.
Yeah, sure. Look, thanks for coming down, guys.
No worries, man.
Exciting opportunity to drink beers in the middle of the day. We don't need to turn them down.
That's what we're all about.
Four Pines. Look, the company's been around for 5.5 years now. We had our fifth birthday June last year. We had a big party in this warehouse, and it was a really cool night with a pig on a spit and a few specialties that we released on the night. But it's been a pretty wild ride since the beginning. Initially we started down at a brewery restaurant down in the wharf at Manly. And from there, tried to produce a few more kegs and get the beer out there in the local area in the Northern Beaches region. We got requests to put it in a bottle at one point, and so we used a contract packer to be able to get that further abroad and expand the reach of the brand. And you know, everything being so well received along the way, we ended up building our own bigger brewery up the road in Brookvale. So we're still here on the Northern Beaches, and this Brookvale brewery we're sitting in at the moment is a year and a half old.
Wow.
And we're sitting in a new warehouse ready to do some more expansion. So it's been a pretty exciting and wild journey.
Cool. Your brewing background, you've brewed at other places before.
Mm.
Yeah.
I only joined Four Pines at the beginning of the Brookvale Brewery. So my first day here was essentially learn people's names and start telling us where to put tanks.
Nice.
And, it was a daunting task to begin with, but my background is 7 years in the brewing industry, all of that previously with Blue Tongue Brewery. And yeah. Blue Tongue Brewery was a...
R.I.P.
Yeah. It's been a sad week, actually. Blue Tongue Brewery, it started off at a brewery in Cameron Park in Newcastle, very similar size to this, and, it had crafty origins, even though it turned into more of a premium lager product. And... also went through a period of exciting growth, but ultimately went in with CUB, and it's been a sad week for some of my friends up there to see all their hard work, I guess, essentially sort of fizzle out, which is tough to see.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. And what about you, Tom? What's your...
Basically, I drank Carlton Draft and Tuzi for a long part of my teenage, 18 onwards, I swear. Across my heart. Then I went to uni, did a degree in science, and was kind of heading down that path to do some more science eventually. And kind of had a bit of a beer epiphany, I guess you could say. Yeah. I don't know, started liking a lot more craft beers. I think like Creatures Pale was the first one that kind of got me going. And then kind of went down that road and discovered a fair bit more. But it was more about like the alchemy of beer, kind of creating something awesome from not much at all. And then that kind of got me buzzing and hooked up with Andrew and did some volunteering with him about a year and a half ago at the venue. Loved it, loved every part of it. Kind of like the hard work ethic about it and all that kind of, getting in there and getting the job done and getting a bit dirty while you do it. And then it kind of worked out well, stars aligned and this place opened. They needed some big help. So
Tommy actually got the job because his best mate Jack is my sister's fiance. Oh,
that's great. Yeah, yeah.
On the lucky end of that one.
It must have been pretty daunting to start brewing in somewhere like the brew pub brew, because you've got that big glass door and everyone can see what you're doing.
People just think you're doing the right thing. You can play your own thing.
Just look like you know what you're doing.
As long as your hops are going somewhere in the right direction, then you'll be right, I think.
So we're drinking your new release, the new Kelador release. It's the Calypso single hop. Why don't you guys tell us a little about this one, about the Kelador series?
Yeah, sure. Kelador, it's our chance to do something a bit outside of our core range as brewers. Kelador includes, not just these releases, but every sort of single small batch release we do at the brew pub. And sometimes they're only 10 keg batches, or most often they're only 10 keg batches. And we do about 40, 50 different styles a year through there. But every now and then we brew one on the big system and we stick it in a bottle and release it to a wider audience. And this is our first for the year. It's part of our single hop series. So this time every year we try to brew a series of beers I guess put some specific hops on showcase, try to put them front and center in the beer and I guess highlight the difference of what different hops can bring to the beer.
Yeah.
Calypso was one we went for. We hadn't really had a lot of experience with it, but we had some exciting buzz out of the US and a cool name.
Yeah.
So what do you think Calypso adds to the beer?
Well, having brewed with it, we found that we're expecting sort of big citrus fruit aromas. Yeah. I thought it came out a bit more orange tangerine.
Yeah, definitely.
It's fairly distinctive. It's not super strong or pungent, such as some of your other American hops, but it's definitely got a nice subtlety to it. It's a very clean aroma, clean bitterness.
Yeah.
You get a good whiff of it with the bottling line with it as they're bottling it at the moment.
It's tropical. So yeah. It's smelling pretty good in there.
Yeah.
So with your recent move to Brookvale, has the brew pub become like a kind of exclusive for the more experimental stuff?
Yeah, essentially. Look, Brookvale meant that we could brew all of our core lines, the majority of the stuff that we sell out of a bigger brewery, and essentially left us with a smaller brewery sitting there idle, waiting for somebody to give it some love. You don't have to ask any of us brewers twice to come up with a recipe and go free reign. But often we brew down there. We brew for events. So like for St. Pat's Day coming up, we've got an Irish Red coming out, which we'll be serving on nitrogen. We've got a Black Forest extra stout with cherry and chocolate in an extra stout. And, for Independence Day, we'll brew a couple of American styles. Oktoberfest, we'll go German for the month. It's part of keeping the innovation going and allowing us to experiment with new flavours, new styles, and who knows, eventually might come up with something that we like as part of our core range.
We get to look fucking awesome behind the glass for you.
Yeah. That's what it's all about, right?
Yeah. It's the ideal posting. You get to sit down there in sunny Manly, you get a free lunch cooked up at the restaurant for you. We've got barefoot coffee around the corner.
Yeah.
Anyway,
nice views, yeah.
It doesn't happen every day. But
so how often are you guys brewing out of brewpub?
Probably about two or three times a week at the moment.
Yeah, right.
That's cool, yeah.
Yeah, we kind of fill it up as much as possible.
Yeah.
We kind of have a dedicated brewer now, so we take turns like once a month. Once someone gets shifted over there, they get to come up with the recipes and do the brews and do all the cell work and stuff over there, and then change it out every month. That's the kind of goal at the moment.
Yeah.
Cool. Our resident Canadian Garrett over there this month. So you might get a bad brew or a good brew depending on whether or not Canada wins the ice hockey.
Or how late the game was on.
So we've talked quite a bit about the Kelador. We might just like talk through your core stuff as well quickly. I don't think anyone who's listening to this would be a stranger to the Four Pines beers, but it's good to go through what you've got. So you got the Kolsch.
Yeah, the Kolsch.
Yeah.
Kolsch is one of our favourites. It's a beer that's fairly light in style and subtle in character, but we like to think it's really well brewed, and it's got enough character there to distinguish it from a fairly bland lager. We use carapils and a bit of wheat malt to give it a nice biscuity malt character, and we use obviously we used the Kolsch brewing style, which is an ale yeast at cooler temperatures to give a nice clean ferment, sort of steer away from those warm esters and those kind of flavours. Gives it a real good summery feel. And then we use NZ hops and German hops. So a bit of the traditional, bit of the new world over here, and gives it a nice real sort of, I always describe it as like fruit tingle aroma. And that's from the Mochuweka hops and in competition with the German Hallertau.
I think it's a great like gateway beer as well. It was definitely one that I drank quite a bit when I was like starting to get into craft beer.
I think you know definitely gets described as a gateway beer, but you know you've got to also, you know, the reality is the Australian summer, especially here.
That's not a slight on it at all.
I think it serves a purpose. You know, it's hard to be in Australia over summer and just be drinking heavy ale. So Kolsch really fits the bill for something that really suits the local area and so for the local region in Manly, even though it's German. We'll reclaim
German
it.
German style, but it fits. It fits the weather perfectly.
And it's won quite a few awards as well, hasn't it?
It's medalled several times at the International Beer Awards, and I think just the general popularity we've seen has been really pleasing.
Would that be up there with one of your biggest sellers?
It is. It and Pale Ale are probably our one and two. On any one month, probably Kolsch in the summer, Pale in the winter at the moment.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
And they're getting pumped out of here at the moment, just brew after brew of those two, pretty much.
Awesome.
Nice. So the pale, has the recipe changed that recently? Or I noticed the packaging kind of changed, but...
Yeah, the packaging changed a little. The recipe hasn't changed at all. Look, I lie. We did a lot of recipe development back end of 2012, early 2013, and really tried to get the hops singing and experimented with several dry hopping techniques and tried to work out what worked best for the beer. And I think probably through early last year onwards, it's really been on song. And the Citra hop is what we put forward in the middle of the four hops we use as sort of the champion hop. But, you know, with the support of the Cascade, the Amarillo and the Simcoe, I think we've got the balance just about right. And it comes across as really, really, I guess, punchy and flavoursome, but also really balanced and easy drinking beer.
I love that. Yeah.
Sometimes, from a customer point of view, people see, let's hear about changes in recipes, people start freaking out, going, oh, you know, but like, I think from you guys' point of view, I guess it's never perfect. You could always tweak it, and there's always something to go here and there. And
you can take it one of two ways. You can say that we want to keep our recipe, that's our recipe, lock it down forever. Yeah. Or we can say, oh, we don't want to go too far from what our consumer knows is our product, but we'll take on board the feedback we're hearing. If somebody says it's too bitter, and if we consistently keep hearing that measure, we might knock back the bitterness a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, we have our own personal taste, obviously, and I hope that's reflected in all of our beers, but also we take, you know, once a month down at the venue, we get regular drinkers down there and invite them along to, and they're completely outside of the company, we invite them along and get them to critique our beers.
Yeah.
And we take all that feedback on board very seriously, and a lot of where our beers are today are from consumer feedback.
I mean, that's the evolution of a good beer too, listening to the consumer as well. So
yeah,
it's the way you have to play. I mean, you're making a crappy beer or a beer that people don't like so much, and you just stay adamant to that, then there's no evolution in your beer process, I guess. So it's to make the best beer for the customers and the best beer that you want to produce as well.
Yeah, I think it's a bit easier to lock in a recipe when you're using one malt, one hops, or something like that.
Yeah.
When you're dealing with varietal products, hops and malts, and you're using four different styles of each, you're trying to use sort of certificates of analyses and hop oil contents and stuff like that to balance it out as much as possible. But in the end, it really comes down to assessing your ingredients and trying to get that balance of flavour through sort of your intuition.
Yeah. So apart from the Kolsch and the Pale Ale, are there any other beers that you brew like on a regular basis?
Yeah, we've got the Hefeweizen and the Stout, and new to our core range is the ESB.
I love the ESB. Yeah, so the ESB's always been a bit of a favourite of mine when I go to the brew pub.
Yeah.
So you're doing that in the bigger bottles as well, right?
We're doing it in the 500ml pint bottle, which I think suits it really well.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, I love the pint bottles that we've only brought out in the last 6 months.
It's funny how, like, everyone's pint bottles are a little bit different in shape, but Yeah. I like it. I think it's a good one.
You see the Squires ones? Like,
yeah,
so weird.
So tall.
I'm sorry for all my friends at Malt Shovel, but...
you got a better bottle.
Pint?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Friendship pint. Yeah, that's what they call it. Yeah.
Wow. No friends and pints.
And so you mentioned that your like kind of epiphany beer was the Creatures, Tom. Is that kind of similar story for you, Chris? Or
you know what, it's Creatures, yeah. And I have to say that specifically, I remember wanting to be a brewer the day that during a trip for my old job, which is a research scientist, I was over at a conference in Fremantle and I was falling asleep in the seminars and I just wandered across the road and started drinking. And I was loving that place so much that, you know, that probably was the inspiration for me to start doing a bit of home brewing. From then on, I was in the lab just listening to brewing podcasts and so on, and ended up at Blue Tongue Brewery, and that's how my career's gone since. It's fun industry to be in.
Creatures, yeah. Well done.
Creatures, yeah.
I think Creatures, like, we've talked about this on the podcast before, but I think they definitely are responsible for a lot of Aussie drinkers and brewers like getting into beer.
Yeah.
They definitely paved the way, that's for sure.
Yeah, definitely.
When there was nothing there before.
Well, they put the first truly hoppy beer on the Australian market and, you know, put their balls on the line saying that they could brew it well and that people would like it. And, hey.
And it worked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think you guys are kind of serving that role in, especially in New South Wales. Like, I've been seeing your beers all over the place.
Yeah.
In places that I wouldn't expect any good beers to be.
Yeah, we like to think that we're part of the sort of education of Australia on craft beer.
Yeah.
Particularly Sydney, which is taking too long to get on board.
Let's get in there.
Let's get in there, yeah. Which is awesome. Awesome. And you're seeing a lot of really good breweries coming out of Sydney and breweries expanding as well. I mean, Rock's have a new place going in Alexandria. And
I think that opens like tomorrow or something.
They're brewing,
like,
yeah.
They've got a launch coming up pretty soon.
In like a few days, I think.
Henry's got new tanks up in the other day,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Riverside killing it out there.
Yeah, they're getting new tanks as well.
You've got Batch Brewing Company started up, and there's potentially a brewing company just moving in down the road from us.
Okay, yeah.
Have you heard much about that?
Next door.
Well, little bits and pieces.
Yeah.
Literally two blocks from here, so it'll be exciting.
Yeah.
I think you know, we're really excited about having the beaches as a good craft destination.
Yeah. Yeah.
We had the Murray's Brew Pub on down on the beach for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was always the perfect pub crawl to Manly. Yeah.
We used to do that a lot. Yeah. Just like get on the ferry and come across.
Four Pines, Murray's,
Four Pines, back on the ferry, and then like Lord Nelson and Hearts and stuff. That was a long day.
But the awesome thing is there's room for everyone.
Yeah.
I mean, Sydney's only got a small amount of craft beers compared to some of, or craft breweries compared to some of the other cities at the moment.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, we just all get on board together and educate the public, and we'll all feel the love.
There's definitely space for all of you, isn't there?
Yeah.
Like, everyone's growing. No one's reached saturation points.
Well, that's the beauty of it.
You're just cutting into the big boys eventually, hopefully. That's the plan anyway. So
I think it's starting to do that a little bit, because you can see they're getting a bit worried and, you know, buying up some buying brands. And yeah.
Yeah, I think it's happening very slowly, but... You know, like I said, I've been seeing Four Pines and Young Henry's and Riverside all over the place.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah, it is great. It's really, like, it's good to see just pushing in there and getting in those spots that, yeah, you know, craft beer's not really in.
No, and you see the hotels and pubs are getting on board, the public are getting on board. I get so many more questions from my friends about craft beer than I used to ever. I used to try to push craft beer onto them and, you know,
it'd be a slow thing.
And now they're just coming back to me automatically. I get homebrewing questions from friends that would never even think of what we do in the past.
That's awesome. We've actually been drinking a lot of kind of cask condition ales recently because we did a thing at the tap house with like 10 casks on the bar.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
So yeah, it was good fun. Four Pines had a beer there, right?
No.
I think they did.
Okay. We do cask ales
at the
Campbell brew pub,
yeah.
That's really our experimental ground. We always try to use a new ingredient or something like that and try to get a feel for the new hop varieties or new malts.
Yeah.
How often do you do the cask?
Probably, once every 3 weeks or so.
Yeah, it's about that.
It's never the same.
The only thing you guys see is it's going to be around 4.5 bucks.
Yeah.
You guys have one of the most serious cask beer setups in Australia that I've seen for a long time.
Yeah,
the little fridges. Yeah, it's
pretty cool. Yeah.
You've seen last year, Tommy his spice rack.
Yeah, the spice rack was like a really plain, just pretty much ale malt and one bit of bittering hops at the beginning, but then just each cask was dry hopped independently with different like fruit and hops and all this kind of cool stuff. And called it the spice rack, and it was a bit hit and miss. There were some really funky ones in there, but there were some really good ones. And it's kind of a good little like learning process on dry hopping and what we can use and how it comes out.
Just infusing flavours from a variety of different fucking crazy shit.
Yeah,
Nice. It's cool you guys have that outlet where you can sort of
The best.
Yeah.
Let off your steam.
Yeah.
Throw some fruit or something.
Some people might have like that little, you know, the 50-liter pilot brew out in the corner that does stuff every now and again, but you guys
have got a brew pub for that.
That's
the beauty. Like, we can play around with stuff and, you know, we put as much thought into it as we need to, but we're usually confident it's going to be a pretty good beer, but we know that we can sell it to someone, which is ourselves.
Yeah.
So what comes to worst is you get sitting there drinking a keg.
Exactly.
So of the kind of the Calidore stuff you've done, what would be like your personal favourites, or can you not add, like, is that like asking your favourite children or something?
So one of the last autumn we did a amber ale for cask beer, and we got this mosaic hop just sample thrown to us by the guys down at Bintani, and we said, all right, we'll just hop with mosaic and see how it goes. And that combination of the amber ale and the mosaic was so spectacular. I was just blown away by it. And then we released that again. We released that at a bigger scale, not on a handful, but just normal carbonated beer. And there was 100 kegs, I think, we produced. Maybe it was less, maybe it was 50 kegs. It went gangbusters. So I think the next Calidore release, we're due to recreate that beer. I'm really excited about it.
That's exciting, yeah.
I remember going to Four Pines and the amber was on the hand pump and it was just amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was one of the few times I've had one of your cask ales and it was great.
That was literally just a beer thrown together out of ingredients that we decided on the day,
and it just worked.
Probably
out
the best beer that I can remember brewing. Yeah, we've brewed some really good beers since. And,
I think the Big Art LD was quite a big success as well.
Yeah.
And the beauty of that is that it was kind of these boys all went to Melbourne Craft Beer Week and were having their fun over there, and me and Benny, the other assistant brewer at the time, kind of just like, we got our Western hats on, wore our flanny, took on the Eldorado, tackled the beast, and it turned out really good, like beautiful bright red, really, you know, hoppy. Oh, I loved it. Oh, it was really good.
New sheriff in town.
That's it.
Was that the first of the Calidore that you bottled in Eldorado?
Yeah, it was.
Number one.
Nice.
It's not a bad way to start, right?
No, not at all.
Yeah, and our bottle supplier let us down, so we only got to produce about 400 cartons when we wanted to do about double that.
Wow.
What other beers have we done? So many now that I can't even remember.
An old favourite of mine, at least like having it at the brew pub, was the Wee Heavy.
I
love the Wee Heavy.
That was especially that's been on the hand pump before, right?
Yeah.
That was great.
Mine would probably usually
do that towards the end of the year.
The rye for Independence Day.
Yeah, we did a rye PA last year and the year before. I think
the year before was the first time I had it. That was really good. Yeah.
And so you guys did a beer for Gabs last year, right? The Dunkel Monkey, was it?
The Dunkel Monkey.
Banana paddle pop. Right?
Yeah.
It's Gareth's baby.
Yeah.
Essentially, that was just a Dunkelweizen. So we went hard on the fermentation, trying to get as much of that banana essence coming through as possible. We added a little bit of lactose to give it that creaminess and that sort of, you know, milky finish, if you will, and then added some chocolate on top.
Came
out really good.
It was
banana milkshake, but it was
banana paddle pop.
All the way, everyone was like, banana paddle pop. we got a cool one coming out this year as well. We're gonna warm ferment again and try and get some real warm flavors going on, and we're doing gin and juice.
Nice.
That's cool. Yeah,
Snoop Dogg's gonna get a bit of love, and we're gonna try and get like a warming beer that sort of has all the spices for gin, so like a bit of juniper and so on, and round it out with some orange zest, and you know, bring through some juices from that citrus family.
Yeah, Cool, that sounds exciting.
Yeah, I can't wait for that.
How far ahead do you start planning these, like, you know, stuff like beers for Gabs and stuff like that? Do you guys sort of have a sit down and throw some ideas?
Probably 2 weeks ago, we had a Keller Door calendar sit down. So we tried to map out our whole year, what we're going to brew. Some, you know, we know exact style and what beer we'll do. Some is, all right, we've got Independence Day, so we want to think of three US styles, and we're sort of just workshopping what they are at the moment. So we've got a pretty good idea of what it looks like for the year. There's probably about 40 different styles in there.
Yeah, nice.
Gaz is always a bit fun because every single brewer wants their two cents on what they want to throw out.
Yeah.
One of the other options we were contemplating was brew done by Andrew, and he got his, because he's a big fan of making sourdough, and he got a sourdough yeast with a cult base, and it was a sourdough, we got it called Doughboy. It's like a sour beer, like it was beautiful, but it was
sounds great.
Hard to replicate.
Sourdough versus gin and juice. Gin and juice is a lot easier to sell.
I think his bottles are sitting over there, so it's worth a try.
We can get involved.
So I'm not sure if we've introduced this beer that we're currently drinking.
I don't think we have yet.
This is your ESB.
Straight from the Bright Tank.
Straight from the Bright Tank. Yeah, this will be going to some kegs and some cartons tomorrow. So this beer, look, it's always been a favourite down at the brew pub. It's, you know, the second I got here, I was insanely impressed by this beer. So in my time, I've not done a lot to change it. We actually changed up the yeast a little bit, but that's about the only difference we've made. It's out of all our beers, this one is one that the hops, the malt, and the yeast, they all sort of work together.
Yeah, come together really nicely.
So, you know, usually like pale ale, a bit more hop-centric, Hefeweizen yeast is real winner there. And this one, you know, you get the fruity esters from the English yeast, you get herbal and sort of almost tobacco like aromas from the hops, and then the malt as well, you know, heavy caramel, get like the real sort of raisin and toffee I think it just works together.
Nice
really
bit of finish
well.
As well, yeah.
I think that because there are three players there and they're all three different things, to get that balance right is really tricky. And I think we're right at it now.
It's got a really nice harmony going on there.
I'm actually really enjoying it. The low carbonation, just because it's like it hasn't
half quoted.
Actually, for this style, it works really well.
A bit warmer as well.
Yeah.
So, was the recipe for the ASB like based off any particular like UK ASBs, or was it just kind of a interpretation of that style?
The recipe was sort of loosely based on what an ASB recipe should be. I think the hop balance was something that Andrew worked for a while to get right, and obviously the yeast was something that we've been back and forth with as well. I think essentially it was just based off English ESB. We definitely went for the chewier, chunkier end of the market. You know, you can dry it out a little bit and it might be a bit more sessionable and popular, but that's never where we wanted the ESB to be. We wanted it to be just one of those lovely beers that, you know, you just save it from start to finish, and it goes perfectly just as a single beer on its own.
Yeah, I mean, that's the kind of ESBs I like. The more kind of maltier ones rather than the drier ones.
Yeah.
There's some pretty good ones. The other Aussie one that I'm really enjoying, the Hargraves ESB.
Yeah.
That's like much more like fruity hop sort of driven than the
I've always been a fan of their ASB. I think ours is probably a little bit more full bodied.
Yeah, I'd agree.
And theirs is probably a little lighter, and then lighter on bitterness to balance that out. I think it's a superb beer in its own right.
I think Holgate's the other one that I
Holgate's a good one.
I always get Holgate and Hargraves confused because they both start with H.
Yeah.
And they both do an ESB.
Yeah.
So but they're both very good.
One thing I've always noticed with your beers is that there seems to be like a really cool, unique identifying factor across all of them. Like, you can always tell it's a Four Pines beer. So, you know, like the sort of balance between sessionability and flavour, and I think there's a really good balance, I find, across the whole range. Is that something you guys really focus on?
Look, not consciously, I guess. I don't know whether it comes out because, it's just the way that our brew team sort of likes to approach beers. I don't think we've consciously gone for anything along those lines. It's just probably... one thing we try to do is try to
brew pretty traditionally to style and sort of make that style work as well as possible, you know, where it's supposed to be. We don't deviate too far from the norm in trying to get, you know, the right balance and the right usage of ingredients for drinkability. You know, we use the Kelador occasionally to push those boundaries a bit more, but our core range is definitely more traditional.
I think that's it with the brew team, that we have that ability to let off that steam through other avenues and then come back to, you know, really staying true to the style of beer with what we do produce in our core range.
Yeah, so you don't feel like you have to go out there too much with the core styles, exactly, but then because you get that chance to do that with the... So I think that's letting you have that creative sort of output as well.
Yeah, sure. I mean, we like to make our beers unique and we like to make them sing in different ways, but at the same time, you know, going too hard on like the resiny pale ales or something like that, we're pushing bitterness more and more. You know, we've tried to keep it within that range of what is an American pale ale and, you know, build off all the success of the American pale ales in the past, the ones that have been great. The Sierra Nevadas and your, even the Little Creatures, and try to, you know, pay homage to them, I guess.
Speaking of resiny pale ales, crack the next beer.
I think we all thought the same thing.
So the next beer we're gonna have something that's just come in from the US. Have you guys had this one before?
No, but it looks fucking cool.
So this is the 6 points.
It's a bit rude for us to come here and drink all your beers that bring some beers.
Yeah, that's wicked.
So this is the 6 Point Resin, which is their double IPA, 103 IBU, 9.1%. This is one of my favourites at the moment.
In a can as well. I love the can.
Yeah, yeah, and it's a cool can. It's a good size.
Grab the jug so we can chuck.
Oh, right. Oh yeah. Yeah, sweet. Spittoon. So this so 6 Points, they're Brooklyn based, I think, their brewery.
Yes, they are.
Yeah.
I didn't go there when I was there because they were closed. They're like expanding at the moment.
Yeah, and they got badly flooded in the big.
Oh right. Yeah, okay. I didn't know that.
And this is their double IPA. They're releasing a double version of this called the High Res, which that. Should be pretty.
Because this isn't big enough.
Double IPAs
is not
ridiculous enough.
Yeah. But this has got those, you know, those big, resiny hop flavours and.
Really light and colourful.
It is, isn't it?
Just give that a smell.
I have a really good affiliation with this beer at Christmas because. Christmas time, I had to do like a mad dash between all the different families, and it ended up on Christmas Day at Gosford Station catching a train back to Sydney, and I had a 4-pack of resin. And, you know, it looks like a Red Bull can, so you can. Sometimes you feel bad about smashing on a train. So, like on the 40 odd minute train ride back to Sydney, I smashed 4 of those. I was pretty fucking happy when I got on the train.
I never even thought of that.
It does. You could just like take the sticker off a V bottle and just like put it there.
Yeah. All the other people on the car are just going, look at that guy, just went mental. Should have drank all those Red Bulls.
And then he was like, we thought we'd bring this. And actually, you guys are doing an IPA soon, aren't you?
I think, you know, seems to starting to get a little bit of love in Australia, and we don't want to be outside of that circle, so we want to come up with something that's 4 Pints and has our own spin on what IPA should be, and to be realistic, we're just in a trial phase at the moment. We brewed an Aussie IPA with all Australian hops last year, and that came through really nicely. We've mixed up the hops a little bit and done some R&D on it with a trial brew at the brew pub recently. So the next few weeks we'll have that pouring. And in my head, I'm loving where it's at. So we'll readdress how we want to approach that after we get a bit of feedback on that beer. And then from there, maybe another IPA release, maybe Queensland Craft Beer Week this year. And again, maybe keep developing it from there.
Yeah.
So Andrew, one of our founding brewers, has just joined us.
Yeah.
Andy, straight in.
Pull up a keg if you want.
I've got a can of that sitting in my fridge.
Oh, man, this is good. I'm loving this beer at the moment.
I come home after work and Tom's gone to bed. I can just see cans of resin all over the room. I know he's had a good night.
And they got high res or something like that.
Yeah,
Global Warming's just come out, which is another one that uses resin, hop resins as well. But it's not as big as this one.
It's in the same can.
It's the same can, but it's not as big as alcohol content.
It's more of a rich, like, hoppy red, isn't it?
Mm. I haven't tried it yet,
And we were just talking about the IPA you guys are going to start doing.
We're working on,
evolving on.
Yeah.
How long do you reckon, what's your R&D? Like, what's the timeline for...
We don't have a timeline. We just want to get it right. We'll keep listening to feedback. We'll keep critical of ourselves and see where we're at, and we'll listen to feedback.
But we haven't created an untapped...
So that's when you know it's official, when there's a...
If you guys go to the venue, by all means, create one and give us nothing but positive feedback.
Yeah, of course.
by all means, tell us what you think, and we'll see how it goes.
Yeah. So, I mean, the IPA, the hops are, we've used Mosaic, we've used Savon, we've used Centennial, and we've used Vic Secret,
Secret, yeah.
Is that the four?
Yep, Vic Secret for bittering and a bit of a half-hour edition. Is there anything else? Artanum.
I thought there was one more. So another US hop, Artanum.
So you guys have definitely been on the one of the forerunners and been really keen to try new styles of hops, haven't you? I mean, if you look at, we're saying about El Dorado, the Calypso we've just tried.
We've got a Canadian who's hop-headed, you could say, who is pushing the boundaries on that stuff a lot.
Yeah.
He increases the ear pretty much every day.
Dude. I heard about this new hop. We gotta get some.
Help a fucking rod.
Row something, L6. Yeah.
Just been to the US and dude. It's great. As I said, we've got the small brewery that allows us to throw a new hop in there every now and then and just really try to put it front and center and see how it sinks. So, we're always learning and evolving our knowledge and new ingredients. Yeah, the sooner we can get our hands on them, the sooner we like to get them in there and available to ourselves as well as anyone who comes down to the brew pub.
Cool.
Yeah.
What do you guys think of the resin?
It's delicious.
It's a good word for it. Yeah,
it's very resinous.
I think it's dangerous. It doesn't taste like it's like
9.9. It's extremely clean. It is. It's been nice for about a few cans and then go to bed.
And the body's light enough just to keep smashing it back.
Mm.
Yeah,
it's not chewy at all.
No, but it's got a big bitter here.
It's got a big pungent aroma and a little bit of that. Dirty bag of
that
hops.
Funky times. Sort of
like raw hop, which I think it's unfiltered, I notice, and that tends to give you more of those sticky resin, that more grassy aromas that
definitely does what it says in the label.
They're the ones that punch you in the nose.
So the boys are telling us about your sourdough.
I don't have any here, unfortunately. I was under a bit of pressure to get it removed from the brewery.
I mean, for 3 months or something.
Yeah, it's sourdough. It's
I think it was time 67 when I almost hit it with the forklift, but that was the final.
It's been in the bottle for 2 weeks today, I think. So I primed it with a bit of sugar. So I'll taste one bottle.
See how it's
maybe going. For breakfast.
Pretty interesting. Every week we tasted it, and it was that little bit.
It was
evolution.
It changed. To be honest, it actually tasted like a pretty cultured yeast, considering it started. it started off, as my sourdough starter with. I used a blueberry as my primary sugar ingredient, to kick off the wild ferment, and it was undiluted Kolsch wort, so it was probably like 12.2. Actually, it's still written on my homebrew fermenter, which is still sitting on.
Never really thought about the correlation between brewing beer and making bread, but
it's the same thing.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's how it started off.
I got some killer photos as well.
Yeah, cool.
Unfortunately, podcasts can't see photos.
Yeah. But we can, so.
Yeah, if you send them to us, we can put them up.
We can put it in the show notes. Yeah.
That's a sourdough.
Oh, nice. So you made it.
Brewed with best 4 pints pilot.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Nice.
Instead of water.
That's really cool.
That's really cool, yeah.
Got a nice colour to it, yeah.
It does.
It actually does bring out a heap of colour.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it's worth experimenting with, I think. I think Doc has actually done an experiment or two with...
What, Doc doing an experimental sour beer?
Yeah.
Really?
Is there any...
Strange to believe, isn't it?
So talking about this kind of stuff, is there any other, like, cool things you guys, like, want to try when you do...
We were going to talk about that.
We can see from where we're sitting, there's a few barrels sitting up at the top of the brewery.
They're musket barrels, actually. We got a mate in the Hunter Valley who provided them to us, and it was I think we swapped them for a few cases of beers. He brought down some barrels. We gave him some grain, which we try to get rid of any day.
He might have even left wine with us as well.
Hopefully he doesn't listen to this podcast, because it's pretty one-sided arrangement.
But he
was kind enough to throw us some barrels. They're old musket barrels, so we threw some Kolsch in there, and we've left them for about 9 months.
It was brew number 100. That was the importance of it.
Oh, wow.
Brew number 100 out of Brookvale, and it was Kolsch, and stuck it in the musket barrel. We want to see what it looks like in another 3 months' time or so. Been there about 9 months, so hopefully it's got a little bit of tartness, a little bit of sourness, and
you haven't
really
sneaked
want that musket flavour, because you smelt them at the start. It was amazing.
You haven't sneaked any taste so far.
Oh, we've had a little bit.
Yeah. How's it coming along?
The hophead before is the police on that as well. He won't let anyone talk.
Well, I think with barrels, and this is the other part of the whole experiment for us, is we've never really used barrels, so just even loading them up and getting beer out of them becomes something that we're just experimenting with. It's all pretty agricultural, but I think you don't want to taste them too much, otherwise you can start introducing oxygen and you can start just getting vinegar. So it's a trial of patience.
It sounds really, really exciting. Musket barrel aged Kolsch.
I don't know what we're going to do with it. Maybe we'll just have a big night here at the brewery and invite anyone down who wants to do it.
Worst comes to worst, we've got a really good cellar dressing. So
exactly.
Very good point.
Give it to the kitchen at the brew pub.
Kolsch 100.
Yeah. I'll whip something up.
So that was Batch 100. What are you guys up to now, Batch-wise?
187. Going right now.
187.
Wow. Seven.
In right now.
Right. So 200's coming up.
200 is coming up.
Bring over some more barrels.
Yeah.
I don't know where we're going to put them.
You do like the Salerno method and just have them like triangle and just feed off
each other.
Yeah.
Proper blending.
But you measure other cool things that we do, and it's good Andrew's here, because one of the things we've done over the last couple of years is the beer mimics food stuff. So, off Andrew's sort of segue into bread for a second, we like hanging out with local craftsmen, chefs and coffee roasters and what have you, and we've done a few collaboration brews with them over the last few years that have been awesome. We've made some really interesting out there beers, trying to use their knowledge of flavors and stuff like that to bring some unique characters to our beer. So that's been one of the cool things we've done. Last year we did a collaboration with a single origin coffee roaster guys.
That was really nice. That was the banana bread.
I remember that night. That was a really
So you don't remember that night, Liam? Is that like
I remember the afternoon.
We went to the Feral event.
We won
breakfast beers at Feral.
I think it was when all you guys got in that came in afterwards. That was when I started to black out.
Yeah. Well, some people at the state went to Frankie's after that as well. So.
I remember seeing pictures of that.
We won the most awkward looking trophy of all time.
Yeah. A number of times it's actually fallen off my headboard at home as well.
Right? Almost guillotined.
Killed one of my children. Yeah, exactly.
The barbecue were my favorite.
The barbecue was so weird. The backers.
With Ben.
Yeah.
So speaking of experimental beers.
Yeah. So we've got the Coxswain's Courage blended porter from Garage Project. In New Zealand, they do some
just
amazing stuff.
Yeah. So this is the one they were like heating with the cattle prod?
Yeah, they did a thing during Sydney Craft Beer Week where they put a hot rod. Yeah, a hot rod into the beer and then caramelized it.
It froth and caramelized the head, so the head would be hot, but then you still have the cold beer.
Sure.
Yeah.
It was just, I missed it. I didn't get a chance to go.
It's like brulee beer or something.
Yeah, basically.
Wow.
Apparently, the guys in Garage Project were just walking around Sydney, like, ended up in Frankie's Land with his cattle prod.
They did it at a tap house for a bit.
Plug in cattle prod.
You hope he hasn't been drinking.
I don't know if I'd use porter as the word, but.
Yeah. So is that what they call it? They call it porter?
It's porter, yeah.
Blended
porter, yeah.
What they
really like? Is that rummy or port, isn't it?
Maybe. It's. You get port, I think.
Blended port or porter?
That's quite nice.
I get a lot of those pork.
That raisin sort of.
I met him at Brewers and Chewers during Sydney Craft Beer Week.
Yeah.
Good dude. He's pretty out there, that's for sure.
Bourbon oak barrels.
Yeah, but yeah.
Right. That's where it's coming from.
Bourbon, oaky.
Well, we tried his insipid weed or that.
Pernicious weed.
I think I remember he...
One of them last night.
He put it into growlers in New Zealand, flew from New Zealand to Sydney Craft Beer Week, and then the growlers were still cold and they served it like that. It was amazing.
Yeah.
Really fresh, so good.
I really like the... We were talking about cans a bit earlier, but they've started canning a bunch of theirs. Like the pernicious weed that you can get in cans.
Same.
The Death from Above.
We sat around a table here.
And that was their Gabs beer, the Death from Above. Yeah.
Mm.
That was great.
No, the can revolution's awesome this year. I love it.
Would you guys ever get some cans or?
Oh, look.
It's a bit of an investment.
Never say that. Yeah, maybe get these thin Red Bull type cans.
Yeah.
So Liam can drink it.
Just smash a can of ESP.
We'll make a blue and silver with a little blue on them. That'll work.
Disguise them.
Yeah.
We were just saying before that the first time I had the resins was on a train back from Gosford. Christmas Day. So I was like sitting back a 4-pack of resin on the train. Was pretty...
Just looked like you're drinking V.
Lots of V.
Mm. There's one of the boys on the bottling line that goes through a lot of that stuff.
Gosford boy. Yeah.
What, resin or V?
No, V. Monster, whatever.
Oh, God.
Whatever's going to kill you quickest.
Yeah.
Says the guy that drinks about 14 cups of coffee.
Coffee.
In the
morning. Yeah. Coffee's all right.
It's natural. I think that's right. Coffee's great.
I'm not going to badmouth coffee.
We've had mentioned in the podcast before the correlation between coffee and beer and brewers.
We've got the barefoot guys around the corner in Manly, and then we've got the single origin guys that we've been fortunate enough to work with on occasion as well.
And then some Brazilian up the road who makes fucking fantastic.
Oh yeah, we've got Alessio.
Yeah.
I think it's funny. Like I'm not sure if I've mentioned this before in the podcast, but my tolerance for more bitter and sour coffees have been kind of directly correlating to my tolerance for bitter and sour beers.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, we've done also a beer, the first Beer Minutes food was with the one we did with Niffy Rigby. We also did in cahoots with Bellaroma, which is just around the corner in Manly Vale. And that was obviously done cupping sessions with Single Origin since then. But the the varieties of coffee that tended to stand out.
Yeah.
You know, were the more like blueberry, like the more sort of
weird flavors.
Yeah, you can smell the fermentation on them and like real fruity characteristics.
Yeah.
Rather than just the bland bitter.
Like, see, we're talking about like the spice rack you did and stuff before. Have you guys done a lot of experimentation with like, you know, other ingredients? And
I reckon we've done more than most.
Yeah.
I reckon we've put ourselves out there and just thrown random things in beers.
You've done like beetroot, haven't you? And you've done beetroot.
The casual ale had some triticale grain in it.
I think, remember back, Gareth's watermelon wit was really, really good as well.
We did a lemon watermelon wit for the guys up at Archive Bar. We did it in collaboration with those guys, and that was just before Christmas last year. I was amazed with that watermelon wit.
Mm.
We essentially sort of pureed some watermelon, just heated it up to pasteurize it. We didn't want any wild yeast flavors coming through, and threw it in, and it was full on candy watermelon.
Yeah.
Now, nice. I never get candy watermelon out of an actual watermelon, but.
Like
a warhead or something.
There's the feral watermelon.
Yeah, it's just come out again. Like, with fruit, so in the cask, in a barrel.
Yeah. Which is exciting.
Yeah.
So we've got the cherry and chocolate Black Forest Stout coming out soon as well.
Yeah.
You know, last year Tommy did the spice rack. We did beers with fig and smoked malt last year.
Wow, porky pig.
We did beers with seawater and yuzu. We did beers with
anchovy oil.
We did beer with anchovies and mustard.
Anchovies. See, that's the fun stuff.
Yeah. The our producer is saying we should mention the wheat sheaf who did the collaboration with
My Anchovia
with Beer Del Bogo.
Oh yeah,
they called it My Anchovia. Except Dogfish Head had taken
not offense, but
you know they're trying to protect their copyright trademark rightly enough, so they had to change the name.
Our anchovy.
Yeah, we'll change it.
I thought
dry hopped it with anchovy fillets.
Oh, really? Yeah. Galgioni and Leo from Beer Del Bogo.
My Antonia.
Yeah. But I think you know, copyright is copyright. You got to protect it.
Yeah, you got to whether you like it or not.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Anyway, the Beer Del Bogo guys, I think they're going to start to have a bit more of a presence in Sydney soon.
That's what I've heard a few things.
That's what. Yeah, we've heard that.
Well, like Leo's been hanging around.
Leo was here. I was Australia with Leo on the weekend. Last couple of years. He was here for Rootstock.
How was that?
It was cool. I actually went and saw him. He did a masterclass.
Oh yeah, on wild yeast. Doing that. Yeah,
he did a 1 hour seminar on wild. I never thought I could sit and talk to hear someone talk about yeast for an hour, but it was really, really cool.
It's actually a cool story. When Adrian and I were talking about like doing a podcast, we were like thinking who's going to be the, you know, who else is going to do it with us, and then Leo came to Tap House for like a session, and everyone was really shy and didn't want to talk to him. And then Liam just got up and just like interviewed him completely.
Pretty much, it was like a one-on-one interview.
It was, and it was just like, whoa, yeah, Liam's in.
Well, I was lucky because I'd literally just flown back from Broome like 2 days earlier, so I'd actually drunk at all his venues like that week.
Guys, I'm gonna sub out.
I think we might wrap it up now anyway.
Yeah,
so
really?
I will keep drinking if you're but we might wrap it up. Thanks for letting us come and having a chat to you guys. It's been good fun.
Thanks Andrew as well.
Thanks Andrew for jumping in.
Thanks for coming, guys.
Hey boys, it's been an absolute pleasure having you. Boys, you know, keep talking the good talk about craft beer and putting the word out there.
We'll keep talking about it.
We're right on board with what you guys are doing. So keep it up.
Excellent.
Cool. Cheers. Thanks, guys.
Thank you very much.